Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, everything's fine. Again, warmer. Every day gets a little warmer here. But alhamdulillah, things are fine. And South Africa, how's everything?
Alhamdulillah, it's quite, it's colder. So alhamdulillah, we're getting used to it, adjusting to it now. We took out the blankets again. So this is the different seasons which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us. Every season you have to worship Him. There's no such a thing as, okay, now it's summer, take a break. Now it's winter, don't worry, don't wake up for Fajr. Every season's got its. If you see, our days in summer is much longer, and the nights in winter is much longer. So if you see it from this angle, to wake up in summer is much easier, but you have to wake up much earlier. So that's the difficult part. So you have to wake up earlier, but it's easier to wake up because it's not so cold. And in winter, it's the nights are longer, so you're getting your full night sleep if you're sleeping on time. And then when you're waking up, although you got a good night's sleep, it's difficult, but because it's now colder, so you're under that blanket, so to wake up, push off the blankets. So with the sacrifices, Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to see our sincereness. So that's what we need to focus on, especially now coming out of the month of Ramadan.
Ameen. We got an increase in the heat. As soon as the Eid Namaz is over, the very next day, no, Tuesday here, it started getting warmer. We hit 42 the other day, the temperature. Today it should be 37. During Ramadan, I don't think it got past, there was the low 30s. It was in the low 30s almost all of Ramadan. But now that that is over, now Allah's bringing the heat. So, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Mufti Sahib, I saw you send me a message just now about the U.S. has given Israel over $250 billion in foreign aid, and Germany has given $70 billion in reparations. So, but Israel has given nobody anything
except grief.
And this is so, it's profound, because from this angle, the Quran Sharif says that the Jews, they had accused Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of being stingy. So they used to say, Yadullahi maghlula, Allah's hands is chained. So Allah says their hands are chained. And this year is so, if you see it, they have given nobody anything. In fact, anybody can take on the challenge if they want, any listener. But I can do it with you, in fact, meaning with the listeners. We can type it together. So let's type Netanyahu and washing his clothes. In the White House. So you would take much, and I'm just going to press search now. I'm just typing this in. So he would take his suitcases full of dirty laundry. You can find this is on the Independent. Suitcases of laundry to the White House to get it washed there. Now you can understand the level of stinginess. I mean, you couldn't do it at your own. You carry that luggage there to get it washed there. So, and this year,
it's okay, looking on the other side, though, that shows the level of servitude by America. That in their chief executive's house, they're washing the clothes of other people. Okay, the leaders of other countries. That's a perfect gulam. Okay.
So, yeah, they have this is a quality of theirs, that they are stingy, and they accuse, look how they accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget any of the other slogans. The fact that you've accused and slandered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that says a lot about you. So you can, that is why Allah
brings, back in America, they said that Jew would sell the gold out of his mother's teeth, out of his mother's mouth, the gold tooth out of his mother's mouth. And they can squeeze a dollar until the eagle screams. Mm. Yeah, so they're known for being stingy.
Mm. And here in South Africa, there's another language. We learned a little bit of it, but I must admit I had no interest in it. But I regret to a certain degree. So there's a language called Afrikaans. It's similar to Dutch. I don't know if you've heard of Afrikaans before.
I've heard of it, yeah.
So in there, they've got a statement as well. So Afrikaans is more of like the language of the white people here in South Africa. We'll come to Elon Musk. The Americans want him back in South Africa. They want to send him back in. But anyway, just from hero to zero.
When you tell them no exchange, no return, huh? No exchange, no return. Keep him where he is.
So anyway, this they've got a beautiful saying in Afrikaans. He has net soos 'n Jood. So Jood is a Jew. They say you are stingy like a Jew. And this is a saying amongst them as well, the whites. So it's become so common. It's not like a Muslim thing where people, only Muslims are saying it. This is, everyone knows the Jews are stingy. And as you've pointed out so beautifully, all these statements. So coming now to this particular aspect of Elon Musk. He goes from Pretoria to right-hand man of Trump, doing some crazy, crazy things while he's around Trump and the rest of it. Now, I've read this morning, and I put it in the news as well, that they want to send him packing, and they said they are totally sick of this man. He's done too much of damage already in the White House and with Trump and everything. So, Mufti, your comments on this?
Yeah, I was listening to... He had an interview yesterday, Elon Musk, and he admits to being on X, all right, which he owns, right? He admits to being on there 8 hours a day.
Mm.
So the even this time with all his other activities. So the question I asked him, how do you manage everything? You've owned so many different businesses and companies, and you are involved with the government trying to eliminate waste. Is your business is taking a hit on this? Is this are you suffering a little bit? Because how do you get this done and keep a high level?
Mm.
And he just thought and I don't know, and he never gave an answer.
Mm.
Okay, he's just so involved. Yeah, and it was, they said Elon Musk meltdown to report his question. Okay, he had no answer. Mm. All right, and yeah, everybody's picked up on it. He just happens to be a billionaire, one of the richest people in America, so in the world, excuse me. That's, so he's able to do whatever he wants, like Trump.
Mm.
He's a billionaire, so he can do whatever he wants, even though he's a convicted felon. It's okay. And Musk is no angel either from his family.
Mm.
So birds of a feather flock together.
Mm. So Elon Musk, if he's sent packing, I wonder if this means now the whites here in South Africa, because they have become so elated that maybe they'll get refugee status in America. 70,000 people applied for it and everything. So excited to go. But now they want Trump back here. So I wonder if that would still matter, because he was the one who put it in his ears, in Trump's ears, to say that, you know what, our Afrikaners, they're being abused and their land is being stolen and this and that. So I wonder what would happen should he be sent back to Pretoria.
Once Trump is like Teflon, nothing sticks to him. So most people feel that it was a big mistake for him.
Mm.
to bring Elon Musk into the government to do anything. I read one place that this is the most unqualified or inexperienced cabinet in the history of American presidency. He fired Trump fired a lot of people who had been like in the army or in the government for many years and was very well respected, and he kicked them out and brought someone in that his only qualification basically was he supported Trump. Not that he had experience in that particular field or anything like that. Still, he's not getting much blame. The stock market has dropped and all these things, countries are complaining about the tariffs and everything. This weekend he went playing golf, like he has every weekend since he's since he's been the president. So nothing seems to stick to him. Nothing bad.
And they just move on like nothing is happening. Like you say, they get time to play golf. The other day I was by one of our senior muftis and I said, you know what, my family said about Saturdays that I can't really come to madrasa to teach and this and that, or I can just come for the morning period. So he made a profound statement. He said, imagine the wife of the president, if she has to say, hey, today you have to take off. You can't do anything today. You'll just have to, I need to do this here. What does he say? Because that's the matters of deen is more important than the matters of the president in their countries. But anyway, this year is still, like you've said, they get time to do everything. But I've seen over the weekend there's been many marches against Trump and many Americans voicing their opinions against him, and specifically as well on this issue of Palestine. We're not speaking about Muslims again. These are all Jews and non-Muslims speaking against Trump.
He's made mistakes and no one's really holding him to task. They said hundreds have protested across America and Europe. When it gets to thousands and millions, then let me know. All right, hundreds. America is 300 million people. We only have a couple of hundred that are protesting, even if it's across the whole 50 states. There's not much. So we'll see what happens. These are the same people that voted for him, huh?
The same.
Whenever I see some pushback like this, I always think of the Muslims in America who, you know, thought they were doing something by giving their vote to Trump. Because of, you know, Gaza and genocide, Joe wasn't doing anything. So next year we'll go to Trump and see what happens. It's just business as usual in America. There's always a split: Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. Okay, rich, poor, black, white. There's always a fight there. So that's when things are pretty much normal.
Mufti Saab, there's a few things I want to get through. Let's see if I can get through it. I've got about 8 minutes. The first is Elon Musk. His father, his name is Errol Musk. So he said that his son, which is Elon, and their family, they admire the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. And he said this to the BBC, apparently, that the billionaire's father described the Russian head of state, that's Vladimir Putin, as a strong leader, and also praised his logical speeches. So now this brings in, this is how we fit this in, is that we've seen Trump has launched all these tariffs, 10 to 50% throughout different countries and the rest on imports and all of this. Now, what happens is, why hasn't he placed any tariffs on Russia? So the question comes in, and they've explained that no, because now they want to sort of, you know, this war that is going on between Russia and Ukraine, they want to sort of now simmer things down. So that's why they didn't put this tariffs. Is that the right answer? Is it because of this relationship which Elon Musk and his father Errol, because we've seen many things Trump has looked into which Musk has, his whispers have worked quite effectively, like we've seen with the Afrikaners of South Africa. Otherwise, where would Afrikaners ever feature in America's White House? But because of Musk, so could this also be part of this?
read that when Putin and Trump talked about ending the war, there were some concessions on like both sides. And afterwards, it seems, well, it was reported that Putin tricked Trump. Okay. And that, so it seemed like, okay, America will not put tariffs on you, but you go ahead and de-escalate that war, stop that war in Ukraine, and then, you know, I look like I'm a peacemaker, and I get, you know, more popularity at home and what have you, and you can have what you want. You can have that peace in Europe, on that Ukraine border that NATO is trying to, you know, encroach upon. So this is what I read, okay, that there was some concessions done there, all right. So if he's not going to send tariffs on Trump, if he doesn't send tariffs against Russia, then okay, then yeah, maybe Musk is trying to try to get in there and help business wise, because they're only about business. They're not concerned with peace in the world. So yeah, that's possible. We don't know. We don't know.
Now, moving to the next issue is, I think I played it, if I'm not mistaken, while we had one of our discussions. And we played for you, or the listeners at least, I know definitely I played for the listeners, where Mr. Joe Genocide claimed at one point that they are the superpowers of the world. And I'm just looking at certain statements, certain articles here also. They say that the U.S., this was said by Joe Genocide, the world's only superpower. And now I've seen so beautifully, it gave me so much of happiness and peace over this past week. And since Friday, I've been looking at different articles which have been speaking about this. So the most, I forgot to send it to you, Mufti Saab, I'll send you the article, inshallah, if I get a chance. But aides to Joe Genocide, they've come out and they said, they revealed their concerns. After now Joe Genocide is not president anymore, they've come out and they say they're revealing their concerns about how he was out of it and the lens they had to go into in order to keep him looking presidential during his final years in the White House. We spoke about this, Mufti Saab, and maybe not in these exact words, but we could see all those gaffes he was making and all the different things. But one of the aides even admitted that they had to put fluorescent tape. They had to fix it to the ground, to the carpet, to show him where to walk in certain events. And they call him octogenarian, as we said earlier on the program, that it refers to anyone who's between 80 and 89. So he was in that particular period. So he wouldn't know where to go. If he's in one room and he needs to go out of the door, he will think, where's the door? So at one point, now this is yesterday's news as well. So a Republican lawmaker, he will now be grilled by the Congress for the former president's cognitive health. And there's a Texas representative, his name is Ronnie Jackson. He's got a medical degree, so he is fit to speak on this. He said Dr. Kevin O'Connor, who was that president's cognitive health
physician,
and he said that he will have to be responsible for this. And he said Dr. Kevin O'Connor will absolutely, positively be implicated in the cover-up of this. And he said he guarantees you that O'Connor has medical information that American people didn't have. Lastly, O'Connor said previously that the president's health was in excellent condition. At one point, they even admitted to say that while preparing him, putting all this makeup in and everything, makeup in his brains and everything, to prepare him for a meeting, not even a TV, television presentation, they said, and this was for that Trump debate, they said that, see, Joe Genocide at one point, he was saying that he is the president of NATO, whereas he was supposed to say he's the president of the United States. And this was the man that was leading so-called world power of the world. And then you've got another person who's in the making now, is following in the same footsteps. What hope is there for these people?
They were talking about that during the time they were debating, that there wasn't too much difference in the ages. And everybody was concerned about Joe, and Joe, so Joe stepped aside and Kamala stepped in. But people were still questioning Trump. He was giving interviews and giving very strange answers and what have you, even during the election. So, yeah, he's up in the same age. But again, he's a convicted criminal. I mean, come on, he's convicted. What's the big deal? They're all the same. There's no difference. And this is the choice that Americans have in the world's greatest country, allegedly, okay, and allegedly the best political system, democracy. They can only come up with two worthy candidates to lead the free world, all right? One was definitely crazy, okay, and then they made him step down, and they brought in a woman who was just totally not qualified. She only reached her position because she slept with other people, all right, and was given high jobs, all right? And then you have the convicted felon and Trump on the other side. So tell me, why do Muslims not want Khilafat back, and why want to follow this this blueprint of democracy? This amazes me.
And that's, we could raise so many other issues, but we'll leave that for another day. The UAE, Saudi Arabia, these are exactly what Mufti Saab is referring to here, is they look at them like they are the, that is where they want to give their oil and everything in exchange for what? Allah has blessed you with natural resources, but you still want the World Cup. You still want this recognition. You want to be recognized by the US. For what? We'll see, but we'll leave you now.
Maybe we can talk tomorrow about El Salvador. They're sending all these immigrants, illegal immigrants, to El Salvador in America. And they sent a rainbow person, LGBT, a gay hairdresser, okay? Because they looked at his arm and tattoos, and he had tattoos, they said, that was like a gang member, this notorious gang member in South America. And when they showed the actual tattoos on his arms, it was mom and dad. They said mom, and the other one said dad, okay? When they investigated, he's already sent to South America and put in a high security prison, and he's gay. Okay? Now, the gangs that he's supposed to be part of, which he wasn't, all right, they don't allow homosexuality. So that was another red flag that, no, this guy was not part of it, okay? He came to America in a proper port, a proper area where immigrants can come. He registered for asylum because he's gay in a country that is against homosexuality. So that was his request. So he was there legally, but still they picked him up and they sent him. And the Trump administration is not apologizing or anything, but it's getting a lot of attention on social media and podcasts. Okay, how can America do this to this person and leave him in a foreign country and this and that? And I said, wait a minute, how long has Guantanamo Bay been in existence? Isn't that a foreign country? And wasn't people taken without proof and sent there and held there without trial for years, and no one said anything? Okay, but this person is not a Muslim. Okay, he's not a terrorist. He just happened to be an immigrant and got mixed up with other people who were convicted, you know, felons and what have you, and were members of gangs, and they were dangerous. But this person wasn't, and the paperwork wasn't done properly. Right? So people are complaining about it. I mean, you know, the big sports reporters, they are complaining. But they didn't have this type of complaint for Guantanamo. Guantanamo is for like 20 years, right?
Exactly. But Mufti, you'll give us more information, inshallah, on this. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll speak on this. And that's why,
inshallah,
that's why we enjoy to speak to you, because you are ex-American. So...
Alhamdulillah. No, just Muslim. Just Muslim. Exactly. People are, oh, you Pakistani? I'm not Pakistani, I'm Muslim.
Right. Make dua for us.
30 years, you're not Pakistani? No, I'm not Pakistani, I'm Muslim, brother.
Jazakumullah khairan, Muftisab, make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.